A petition was delivered to MPs yesterday urging them to get rid of legislation that enables referenda on Māori wards. Action Station collected more than 10,000 signatures calling for Parliament to make the process of establishing Māori wards for district and regional councils the same as the process for establishing general wards. Laura O'Connor-Rapara from Action Station said, quoting, 10 councils have voted to establish Māori wards. 9 of those have been challenged, and all 9 of them voted, went in favour of blocking Māori representation. And just 3 of New Zealand's 78 local authorities have Māori wards. With us is Dr. Lara Greaves from the University of Auckland, whose research interests include Māori politics and the Māori electorates. Dr. Greaves, kia ora. Dr. Greaves, are you with us there?
Yeah, kia ora. Can you hear me?
Yeah. How are you? Thanks for being with us. Hey, so we've talked about Māori wards before, haven't we, on the panel? I mean, does something like this petition really step up the momentum for a change in thinking on Māori wards?
I think what's really good about the petition is it keeps it on the media agenda and we're talking about it. We saw actually very quickly after Labor got elected and Nanaia Mahuta was announced as local government minister, Mahuta came out and said that this is something that they're looking to move on in this term and hopefully quite fast. And it seems like it might be quite fast. And we've seen more and more councils recently vote to include these wards. So it's good to kind of have this in the media again.
Yeah, just to recap on some of the issues, actually, because no other wards, such as the rural wards, can be stopped by public polls. Why is that reserved for Māori wards?
Well, I think a lot of people would call it racism and institutional racism. We've kind of got the same sort of situation happening with the general electorates versus the Māori electorates, right? So the Māori electorates are not entrenched. And all of this ends up happening. What ends up happening with this is rather than us focusing on Māori politics, effective Māori representation, effective Māori political participation, what ends up happening when we talk about Māori wards and we talk about the Māori seats more generally is what we end up talking about is should we keep them, should we get rid of them, what does the majority of Pākehā think, all of that sort of thing, rather than thinking about substantive issues.
Right. So let's just take an example, okay? So here we have Tauranga City Councillors. They've agreed to introduce the Māori ward. But if 5,000 signatures are collected and to submit before February the 21st, 2021, the council must hold a binding poll asking whether a Māori ward should proceed. Is that the way it goes at the moment?
Yeah, it's along those lines. And that really becomes a real issue because the kind of people who vote in local government elections, we know that Māori voter turnout's lower in local government elections and elections generally for very good reasons, but the kind of people that vote and are active in local body politics tend to be the kind of demographics that don't support the Māori wards and don't support Māori seats more generally. So that becomes a real issue. It's like this classic problem that we present in sort of first year political science of this idea of the tyranny of the majority. You have the majority of people acting in their kind of group self-interest and trying to protect their rights and interests over and above Māori, who, you know, there's tangata whenua, a numerical minority in Aotearoa.
Okay, Chris Wikaira, what are your thoughts, questions, comments on this issue?
Well, it's interesting you mentioned Tauranga City Council. I'm reminded of, again, another story I did a long, long time ago, and it was an archaeologist who was saying, you know, if you look at Tauranga, had the highest number of archaeological sites in an urban setting and around the margins of Tauranga City and Mount Maunganui that weren't properly documented. They certainly weren't protected. And the amount of damage that had happened to them with no protection from councils, he said, was an absolute travesty. So you can see why, you know, councils haven't traditionally done very well in terms of protecting things like that. And, you know, that goes back to Laura's comment about the voter turnout. Māori go, well, they do nothing for us. They can't relate. They have no interest. So why bother participating?
Yeah. Right. Laura, sorry?
That's exactly it. I mean, this is that thing is that there's so many, like when you look at the history of, say, the Māori electorates, like it was decades before, after the general seats that we got, say, like a printed roll, decades after, we had decades of like having to put our hands up as Māori that's how the votes were counted rather than by secret ballot. So there's been like histories of inequities and all of this stuff. And like people, I think a lot of us as political scientists and commentators in the media scratch our heads and go, oh, Māori voter turnout's lower. And it's like there's actually a lot of really good reasons for that. And it's like really looking now, looking forward, and now Labour with a decent mandate, it's like looking forward, what can we do to transform Māori representation to make that more effective going forward?
Okay. Zaina, what do you think? What's your comment?
Yeah, I think, you know, representation is important, right? And people don't participate in structures and institutions where they can't see themselves. So that's really, really important. From a ministerial perspective, I suppose, you know, this is the type of decision that really tests leadership. Whatever you decide, you'll always have a group of people who are unhappy with what you decide. And so that's your role as a leader to do the right thing and to consider the importance of representation and fairness. And I'm sure the minister and her advisers are all considering these issues.
Yeah, it seems so. In terms of what picking up what Zaina says, if you can't see yourself, what really is the purpose of participation? Māori representation in local councils overall, Dr. Greaves, that's pretty low, isn't it? I don't have the number, but the percentage is pretty low.
I don't know what the exact number is, but yeah, generally it is quite low. And again, it's that thing, it's reflected in participation at all levels. But the percentage is like some councils don't have any Māori councillors. And that's just, particularly concerning. I think overall, representativeness of those councils is pretty poor. I mean, people make jokes about there being councils. I think one of the sort of West Coast ones is just all Pākehā, older Pākehā men. But of course, Māori, our differential status as tangata whenua, like, you know, need and deserve, and that rightful partnership in governance and guaranteed by the treaty, right? So we kind of, above the sort of diversity and representativeness kaupapa, we're meant to have partnership and that voice at the table.
Yeah, right. One of the things I heard for when Gisborne District Council took their vote recently, there was a concern expressed that there would be a loss of visibility of non-Māori issues north of Gisborne up the coast. And I thought, well, that's rather ironic because the Māori population up there is close to 70%.
Mm. Gosh, yeah. Lara, to those that say, councils, and we will have this at a fair bit, we're getting a couple of those right now. Councils are largely concerned with roads, they're concerned with infrastructure, amenities and clean water. There's no clear reason why separate wards are needed for these. What would you say to that?
I'd say that Māori use all of those things that you've listed, and of course there's around, especially water rights, right? There's like that sort of status, like that sort of kaitiakitanga duties and that descending from the land and whakapapa to the land, right? So there's all of those sorts of land and resource management act related reasons to have Māori representation and to have that real kind of good either mana whenua, like local Māori, or have some kind of Māori lens on all of these issues. We see this through, like, generally, again, not taking anything away from Māori tangata whenua, but we see this as well around the issues along lines of gender and sort of other ethnic groups and other ways of living and being, that having that diverse or more representative voice at the table just helps the decision-making. I mean, there's decades of research on this now.
Is there, Zaina?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the other thing related to this is just understanding of the inequities that Māori have faced, right, and continue to face. And if you don't have that representation, then are you confident in saying that, yeah, you actually understand the issues that your people are facing, your ratepayers are facing?
Okay, interesting. Nice to have you on again, Dr. Lara Greaves there. From the University of Auckland on Māori wards. Text us 2101. You can email the panel at rnz.co.nz.